Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Tuesday edition. Before you bet, you're live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channel. So was the return of Mr. Monday Night last night on this crazy run. On Mondays, 4-1 for myself. Now 23-3 over the last, I think, five Monday shows. The boys, we combined to go 8-3 yesterday. So a pretty good day overall. We're going to try to carry that into today. Covering the NFL, professional sports bettor Hitman will be by here in a matter of seconds to discuss some hot topics, get his best bets here for week 13. And John Mettler will be here at the midpoint of the show, breaking down a decent looking board in the NBA this evening. Okay, so if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know what you like in the NFL this week. What do you like in the NBA this evening? Tell us what you like. Give us a little breakdown. We'll read a few off throughout the course of the show. Okay, let's get right into it. Let's go to our guy, professional sports bettor, Hitman. Hey, buddy, how we doing? How did week 12 of the season treat you?
Slightly losing week for me, but nothing crazy. I'm ready. This week is busy as hell because you got three Thursday games. You got the Friday game. Like, you got Thursday. I'm going to get work done for sure, but it's not 100% work day. It's more like maybe like a 70% work day. Luckily we host, and so I can get some work done. And yeah, you know, a lot of people that are coming, some family members and everything, they like to gamble a little bit sometimes. They got some accounts there. They're trying to ask me for some good bets to put into. So yeah, it'll probably be a fun week.
Now, are you the type to be annoyed by having so many people around when you're trying to watch football? I am. I've talked about it before. I watch a Super Bowl by myself. That's how crazy I am. But where do you stand in reason for that type of stuff?
No, it doesn't bother me. A lot of like my in-laws and everything that are coming, like I said, like they've bet with me in the past and everything. So like we have like it's almost like a separate section of the house. Okay. There's like half the house is doing all just sitting at the dinner table, the dining room table, talking, actually socializing, you know. And then the other half is a lot of the men where we're watching the games, we're sweating bets together. So it's actually a fun dynamic. To be honest, I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's such a great tradition. Thanksgiving, NFL football. Okay, so before we get into the week that's coming up, let's talk the week that was. What are your biggest takeaways from week 12 of the NFL season?
Three of them. I spoke about Washington, me being nervous last week when I believe I took Dallas on this show against them. A lot of my feelings are still there. Like, is Washington hitting a wall offensively? I kept talking about it, that this offense was never the most talented offense surrounding promising rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. I think their defense might be overrated compared to some of their year-to-date metric. So nervous about Washington. The Chiefs secondary is a problem right now with the injuries that they have. No one really opposite Trent McDuffie that is getting the job done. Like, for you to let Bryce Young to do that to you is extremely concerning. Like, Bryce Young had one of the best game of his career by a mile in that game. So that's a concern for me. And then the third one is Philly's roster. Like, I'm not so sure this isn't the best team in the NFL. Like, even better than possibly. I mean, Detroit is losing a lot of guys to injuries right now. Yeah. And I know they keep rolling through teams, but eventually might catch up. Even this week, and it's possibly short-term injuries, but like Taylor Decker, Carlton Davis is probably out. Amon-Ra St. Brown is banged up. David Montgomery's banged up. Like, Philly is relatively healthy. And, I mean, where's the weakness? Like, Jalen Hurts, I think, is just a slightly above average quarterback, but he doesn't have to do much when he's essentially playing the game on rookie mode on Madden. Like, when you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield, who number one wide receivers, Dallas Goedert, this offensive line, this defense right now is top five in the NFL. Like Cooper DeJean, did you see how he locked up Cooper Kupp on some of these routes? Like there were Cooper Kupp, like those choice routes that he gets open on every DeJean had, like Adam Clamp, and obviously the other corner, the other rookie, Quinyon Mitchell is doing great. Philly's roster is freaking loaded, and I am loving that's the only team I bet in the NFC or AFC before the year. I believe I got 7-1 or 8-1 on Philly. Not to toot my own horn, but that one I'm feeling good about.
Yeah, it took a little while, I guess, for that defense to come together, but they're absolutely flying right now. And they play in Baltimore against the Ravens. That should be the game of the week here in week 13. Okay, so let's pull back here a little bit. Let's talk big picture. Let's talk Super Bowl futures. So you take a look at the odds board, the top five. And the winner's probably going to come out of these fives. Let's be honest. It's Detroit, KC, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Outside of the top five, who do you think the best bet is to actually go on and win the Super Bowl?
So I'm going to preface this by saying that I looked at the board and I really couldn't find much value, to be honest. So it's almost like if I was to look outside these teams, it's just, what do I think is not the worst bet? Like, what's just something I didn't bet none of this. I would say Green Bay, though. And I know it's a little not popular that I'm just saying the next best team on the odds board at six. But I think that Green Bay, the depth that they have at the skill positions and the fact that Josh Jacobs is running really good right now, like this team could be very dangerous come January. They showed it kind of last year, like how dangerous they were once the offense started clicking. I know the offense is just – something's been a little off so far, but I think that this is the team that is the deepest. Like they're really deep with their wide receivers, their tight ends. They have a quarterback that can get really hot. He's a high variance player in Jordan Love. I would say Green Bay would be my selection.
I thought you were going to make a case for my Dolphins after they destroyed the Raiders and the Patriots here their past couple of games. But
you know, the thing that worries me about Miami, Joe,
is that they're Miami.
It's that. I really do believe like Miami does get figured out sometimes by these better teams that they play. They're kind of like Dallas last year. Remember with Dallas would just kick the shit out of bad teams.
Yeah.
And then when they would play, I feel like that's kind of Miami sometimes when they play better teams. And then especially now they're going to have to play all their playoff games on the road. Like you're going to have to go outdoors, Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo.
Oh, they're screwed.
That's my concern.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game on Thursday night. I don't have high expectations, though. I do not expect them to win in Green Bay. This is a movie we have seen before with the Dolphins. They get some buzz going. You know, they're looking pretty against these bad teams. Then they go into a difficult situation, whether that be on the road or against a top-tier opponent. And it doesn't go very well. So who knows? Maybe things might be different this year. I doubt it, though. Okay, let's talk Saquon Barkley here a little bit. Speaking of the Eagles, he's getting a lot of buzz this week coming off that, I think it was 266 rushing yards on Sunday night. He's just stacking these triple-digit rushing yard games. He's now third or fourth on the MVP odds board, depending on the sports book. And it does seem like we do this every year with a skill player, Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill in recent years, with these guys getting some buzz to win MVP. A non-quarterback has not won the award since 2012, Adrian Peterson. Do you think Saquon actually has a shot at winning the award?
Yes. Yes. Now, let me preface this by saying, like, do I think Saquon Barkley should be the MVP? No, because the most valuable players to the league are the quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, if Saquon Barkley gets ruled out next week, or if Jalen Hurts got ruled, the line would move way more if Jalen Hurts got ruled out. So he's not the most valuable player in the league, but can he win this? I mean, no quarterback is making a case right now. I mean, other than Josh Allen. And Lamar, yes, Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson also has to compete with Derrick Henry in, yeah, on his own team, especially if Henry does get a 2,000-yard rushing season. And there could be just a little bit of voter fatigue with Lamar as well that he would have to overcome. I think Allen's rightfully the favorite, but you know what? To be honest, I would take Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley is more likely to win than Jared Goff. Jared Goff is just not put up the numbers, in my opinion. And everybody knows that he's not. Jared Goff is just part of the team. He's not winning these games for Detroit. He's just along for the ride. And yeah, he's a good, solid quarterback, but not an MVP caliber quarterback, and not having an MVP caliber season, in my opinion. If Barkley gets 2,000 rushing yards and Philly is the number one seed in the NFC, I could see it happening. So, yeah, I think that he is live for it.
Yeah, I think people kind of like the story too. You know, he leaves the dinky little New York Giants. They kind of let him go, I guess you could say. He goes to the division rival, and you know, he has more rushing yards than the New York Giants do this season as a whole, for God's sakes, which is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, let's play a game of good bet, bad bet. The bet I'm going to throw at you is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the NFC South. I'm seeing it as high as plus 260. So here's the case. They're 5-6. I think they're better than their record indicates. They have wins versus the Lions and the Eagles this season. A lot of close losses here. So they are hot on the heels of the Falcons. They're in second place. Falcons are in first place. The Falcons are they're 6-5. Games versus the Chargers and Vikings on deck. The Bucs probably have the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. I didn't actually look that up, but they got the Panthers twice, the Raiders, the Chargers, who are good, then the Cowboys and the Saints. Now, the edge is the Falcons won both head-to-heads against them. But I think the Bucs are a pretty good team here, 5-6. What do you think of their odds here to win the division at plus 260?
Subjectively, I thought I would like it. And the reason is because I have these teams, Tampa and Atlanta, dead even. And so, and I know Tampa's one game back. They obviously lost to Atlanta. So that could be impactful for tiebreaker purposes. But, you know, I ran numbers on it, like simulations with, and I didn't come out to value on Tampa at that number, even with me having Tampa rated equal to Atlanta. So I thought I would like it, but the numbers did not come out to having any value. So it would be a pass for me. But I'll tell you what, like Tampa is a team that'll maybe might be a little bit higher on than the like Baker Mayfield, and this is a guy that before the year I said like I could see this contract being like Daniel Jones. Like I take that back. He's good. Baker's good. So yeah, I could see it. But yeah, subjectively I like it, but I didn't bet it.
Okay. Player prop markets. I don't know if anything's up right now for the Thanksgiving Day games, but as a whole, what is on your radar this week for player prop betting?
I love the fact that there's standalone. When there's standalone games, I get more bets down because more lines get put up on guys. And also, it's just so much easier for me to be able to handicap the game when there's just a standalone game compared to 10 games going off at a Sunday 1 o'clock slate. It's just not enough time in the day for me to do that. So I anticipate having a lot of volume. I'm hoping that some overs get inflated on the Thanksgiving slate with everybody. Like it's like a national betting holiday on Thanksgiving. I'm hoping that some player prop numbers get inflated, and I probably will end up having a lot of unders, and a lot of it will be closer to post. I do love that the Miami Green Bay game is last because that's going to be the get back your money game for a lot of people. And I could see some guys getting bet up. And
a lot of big names.
And again, a lot of big names. And these are conditions, at least like for Miami's offense, these are conditions Miami's offense has not been great in.
Yeah.
So, and Miami's defense is playing pretty well too right now. So, yeah, I'll probably end up on some unders in some of these primetime games closer to post would be my guess.
Okay, some unders on Thanksgiving potentially. Okay, so let's get into some best bets here. You're having a good season for us here on Before You Bet. Let's start with so the Chargers looking to bounce back. They lost last night at home, Monday Night Football. They head to Atlanta. We have a total of 47.5 for this game. You like the over.
Yeah, the Falcons are devoid of a pass rush. They just got torn up by Bo Nix. Derek Carr had not a big success rate game, but the explosive plays to Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a big game against this defense. Like, this is Atlanta's just a dead nuts over team to me. And the Chargers have slowly becoming maybe a little bit more of an over team. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is probably going to be out this game. Does it lead to more throwing? Possibly. The Chargers have been throw heavier since the bye. Chargers defense, they have great year-to-date metrics. But when they face good offenses in the last two games, they face good offenses in the Bengals and the Ravens. The defense has kind of shown the lack of talent. They're very well coached, but it's still, I thought they were overachieving just a little bit. So, yeah, I think the over 47.5 has some value in this one.
Okay, next up, let's go to New England. Producer Mix, New England Patriots. He's not too happy with the job Jerod Mayo was doing this season as head coach. They're hosting the Colts. The Colts are favored by 2.5. I know you're not a big trends guy, but the Patriots are 2-11-2 ATS in their last 14 games as a home underdog. And you expect that trend to continue. You like the Colts to cover -2.5.
Yeah, the Pats game last week against Miami was uglier than the 19-point margin suggests. There was a Hail Mary, not a Hail Mary, but essentially someone close to a Hail Mary touchdown for the Patriots on 4th-and-20, the Austin Hooper of all people. There was a fumble return touchdown that forced Tua back into this game. He was out of this game after the third quarter. Yeah. And so I thought that the margin was even worse than what it appeared to be. The Colts have improved a lot, specifically defensively since getting their guys back healthy. And Anthony Richardson, like, I feel like I've said this like 2 or 3 times this year, but like, even like you look at some of the film guys on Twitter, and like even the coach Shane Steichen said this, like, even though you look at the completion percentage and the stats, like, he was not as bad as the stats show. I think they had 5 big gains taken away by penalties. They had, I think there was a deep ball, 50-yard deep ball, where one of the receivers, Ashton Doolin, inexplicably somehow didn't get his second foot down, where it was a pretty, I believe people were saying it was a pretty routine play. I think that the Colts are slightly undervalued. So, and I think that New England is still, despite Drake May being promising, is still a really bad team. So give me the Colts.
Yeah, I think a good spot for the Colts. Okay, before we let you go, what's the most overrated Thanksgiving food and the most underrated Thanksgiving food?
I hate stuffing. Like, I don't even eat it. So I'll say stuffing is overrated. And what was you said the best Thanksgiving food?
And most underrated.
You know what? Thanksgiving food sucks, man. The best Thanksgiving, I'd say turkey and gravy is my favorite. Like, mm-hmm. Drenched in gravy. Yeah. And with mashed potatoes, maybe sweet potatoes. But the best Thanksgiving that I ever had was when I lived in Vegas. We had no family that was up and everything. And we went to Prime Steakhouse at the Bellagio. Yeah. And that was the best Thanksgiving meal I've ever had in my life, was Prime Steakhouse at the Bellagio. I wish that I could do that again and not have to eat Thanksgiving food.
Yeah, I think the most underrated is just simply potatoes. Sometimes you get some awesome potatoes. You don't want to fill up on them too much.
It's got to be drenched in gravy. It's got to be drenched in gravy. That's what I say, Joe.
And you gave that take that you Thanksgiving dinner as a whole is probably overrated, I think is what you're getting at. A friend of mine shares that opinion as well. He said every time it comes around, he says Thanksgiving dinner is completely overrated. And some people in the chat here, crazy take. My mind is blown what I'm seeing right now in the live chat. I think it's good, but if you're offering me like, okay, you can have a steak dinner, we can do a barbecue thing, we could do like a really good pizza night, we could do, you know, nachos and wings. A lot of those are going to be higher on my power rankings than a turkey dinner. Thanksgiving's good. I like the desserts, yes. The pies.
It's hard to cook the turkey. I mean, sometimes it could come out dry too, you know. It's no. Overrated holiday food-wise.
There we go. Okay, a little bit of a hot take. Okay, buddy, we will leave it at that. We will wish you a happy Thanksgiving, though. Enjoy the football, enjoy the food, enjoy your family, and we'll catch you again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Joe. Happy holidays.
Yes, sir. The man right there. I like that take. Let's talk a little National Basketball Association, and we bring in our guy, the Magic Assman, representing the Orlando Magic, who held the Hornets to, what, 84 points last night? I think it was, what was the line you said to me? Hey, we're not going to score 100 points, but you're not going to score 100 points either. That's the motto of Magic here this year. Liking that. How we doing, buddy?
Good. I feel like I have to defend Thanksgiving dinner now because let me give my take here, because the original dinner is good. What you have like 2, 3, 4 o'clock. But I think the second round to the table where there's all the leftovers still sitting out and you're like halftime of, was it Packers Dolphins, the 8:30 game. You know, it's like that late 9 o'clock game and you go back for seconds of things. I think that's the better meal than the first one, in my opinion, when you're like, it's quieter, you know, I don't know. I love Thanksgiving food. So I was blown by that take by Hitman there.
Yeah, I mean, I know what he's getting at. I don't totally agree with him. I think if you have a really nice turkey with gravy and some potatoes, the pie is fantastic. Pumpkin pie, I'm a big fan of. Checking in on the live chat, Kevin with a really nice compliment here. He says, nice show. Thank you very much, Kevin. We appreciate that quite a bit. Patrick Fleming, the man right there. I'm not sure if he's talking about me or you, John. Or maybe Hitman from the previous segment. People fired up. Mettler, the official ambassador of all Shaq products.
We have this running joke in Jingle's Discord where there's Shaq will literally sponsor like anything, and you just see them all over the place. And we just always send photos like where we see Shaq products. And I think recently on the weekend I was in the grocery store and there was like burgers. I was buying frozen burgers for dinner, and there's a Shaq. It was like Shaq burgers, whatever they were. So I sent it to the Discord. Everyone gets a laugh. But there's all kinds of, you can find anything. I think there's like a turkey sponsored in the grocery store right now too by Shaq. So
the laziest form of marketing whatsoever. You have all these people thinking they're marketing geniuses in a room, maybe that they're at an advertising agency. Oh, I know. Let's attach ourselves to Shaq or Snoop Dogg.
Someone just said that in the chat.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, what's with the resurgence of Snoop Dogg as well? Cheeseburger Eddie, like-minded here. But yeah, Shaq, why is Shaq doing ads for a printer? Epson printers or something? You'll watch and, oh, Shaq, oh, good to know Shaq. Epson, or if that's who it is. High-quality printers. They do not run out of ink. I'll listen to Shaq for my printer advice. You know what I will say, though? Is he has like the knockoff shoes that kind of, yeah, they're designed to look like Air Jordans. I was at my kids are in basketball and I seen some kid like 6 years old and I was like, those shoes look really sick. What are those? And from a distance, it looks like the Air Jordan logo. They are Shaq shoes. So he is doing a good job there. So I will give him some credit for that. Okay, so let's talk a little NBA here. We got some bets to get into, but first I wanted to throw the Milwaukee Bucks at you. So they got off to a depressing start to their season. They were in the same ballpark as the Philadelphia 76ers. Not anymore, though. The season ends today. If it did, they would be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, really trending in the right direction, playing well on both sides of the ball, 7-3. What do you think of this turnaround here for the Bucks?
Yeah, they made some changes to the starting lineup. They got more athletic, Andre Jackson and Gary Trent out. I can't help but look at most affordable shoe in the market too. Remember the Starberries? Those were good shoes too. I had a couple of those. Yeah. But with Stephon Marbury there. But I'll keep going. So the Milwaukee Bucks, they keep kind of being thrown into trades here. And I'm not quite sure. They keep getting linked to Cam Thomas, which I feel like that seems very real because you just keep seeing it over and over and over. I'm not sure what they're giving up because I was just looking at their first round picks. Their next first round pick they have access to is 2031. So what are they trading? The thing is a 2031 first round pick actually might be like really desired from opposing teams because they actually might be really, really bad in 2031. Like Giannis,
what's that? You'll get somebody who's 10 or 11 years old right now. It's funny, like, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, it is. But when you like you just look at the Milwaukee Bucks by then, and like Giannis Antetokounmpo's gone, Damian Lillard's gone. So they actually, those picks actually could be pretty valuable. It's just kind of what you're, it's kind of what makes it interesting with the 76ers too, is the Eastern Conference is so bad. What, they win 7 of 3 games and now they're the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference and their season looks okay again. And like as bad as the Philadelphia 76ers are, it's like they could do the same thing. They could win 8 of 10 and all of a sudden they're in the top six in the Eastern Conference. You can't do this in the West, but I mean, good for the Bucks. I like that they push all in. I mean, they still are missing Chris Middleton. Are they going to trade him? Is he going to come back? I don't know. I feel like he would have to be the contract going the other way where you get someone to take him. They keep being linked to trades. They must have something to give. I don't know what they have to give, but they're being linked to a lot of trades here.
It's like the Lakers. We'll take your all-star and we will give you 45 second round draft picks. Yeah. What do you think of that deal?
Actually, can I touch on the Lakers there too?
Yeah, let's go.
JJ Redick, in his podcast, he was always very aware of the EPM numbers. And he was like right there talking on a show the second they dropped. They just released for this year and now they'll keep getting updated. And I thought it was really funny because today you saw a trade rumor. They're linked to Dorian Finney-Smith. And Dorian Finney-Smith has really good EPM numbers in what just dropped. And I feel like JJ Redick was in there looking at the EPM numbers and was like, I want that guy because it's metrics he pays attention to. And even on the Lakers, something to watch, I think Anthony Davis is 1, LeBron James is 2, is Dalton Knecht is 3. So watch Dalton Knecht's minutes because JJ Redick pays attention to those things. And if the stats are saying Dalton Knecht's your third best player, JJ Redick will give him some minutes. So I'm going to watch
too. Real steal in the draft there from the looks of things early on here for the Lakers. Okay, we're going to touch on that game here. Let's get into it here. Some really good-looking games in the NBA here tonight. NBA Cup action. I will get us started. Let's head down to Miami where those Milwaukee Bucks are in town, a total of 222.5, and I like the over in this game. So Milwaukee is absolutely cooking on the offensive side of the ball right now, averaging almost 120 points per game over their last 6 games, 5th in offensive rating in this span, number 1 in 3-point percentage as well, which lines up really well with the Heat, who are attempting the 3rd most threes in the NBA over their last 5 games. Miami, when you think of Miami Heat basketball, you think defense, slow pace. They're actually playing at a faster pace than usual right now. That has led to them scoring in the 120s in 3 of their last 5 games. And look at the scoring patterns for each of these teams. You take each of their last 5 games, you put them together. They've gone over this number of 223.5 in 8 of those 10 games. They actually crossed 235 in 7 of those 10 games. So I like the over down in Miami tonight. Next up, Utah Jazz, San Antonio Spurs, a rare spread bet from John. What are we looking at?
Taking the Jazz plus 2.5. You're going to start seeing more spread bets from me just in general. Basically, when it comes to spread bets for me, if it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, I don't think it's a good bet. So when you look at this, this definitely makes you feel uncomfortable. The Jazz have lost 2 games to the Spurs already. They just played last Thursday, and the Spurs won, but the Jazz were up by 16. So I don't think you can just completely ignore the fact that, you know, the Jazz went into San Antonio. They're up 16 at the half. They ended up losing. But the one thing I do like about this, my travel basketball coach always said it's really hard to beat a team 3 times. And this is the 3rd time they're facing them in a very short span at the beginning of the year. And like Victor Wembanyama is kind of like he's an alien. You just don't really even know how to scout for him. I mean, the Jazz should not be in that spot tonight. You faced him twice. You faced him just recently. You should have a scouting report on how you want to handle this guy. And I did really like that Walker Kessler is back because he's their center. He gives them rim protection. You're going to need it against Wemby. And they're also kind of playing a bigger lineup, John Collins, Lauri Markkanen, Walker Kessler. So that should help against Wemby too. I took the 2.5. Give me the Jazz. Nobody just walks into Jazz into Utah and wins. Everyone does, but give me the Jazz.
Let's go, Jazz, baby. Okay, next up, let's go to Minnesota. The Houston Rockets off to a great start this season. They are in town. The Timberwolves, a lot of bad losses for them here this season. Stay away from the side, though. We're going to go the total. We're going to take under 220. For this one, check out Rockets games here lately. A lot of their games are barely cracking 200 combined points. 5 of their last 9 games have stayed under 205 combined points. Check out the home away scoring splits defensively for these teams. I do think it points to a defensive battle. I pointed this out numerous times on the show here in recent weeks that the Timberwolves or defense is much better on their home court. They rank 6 in points allowed at home at 106.2. Rockets are 2nd in points allowed on the road at 106.4. Then you dig into the offensive numbers for these teams. You're not going to be too impressed here. 19th and 27th in three-point percentage over the last five games. 21st and 28th in EFG shooting percentage. Maybe a good game, but I think it's going to be on the lower scoring end, so we'll go under 220 there. Next up, three total bets for this Suns-Lakers game. The Suns are getting a pretty important player back, and we each have a bet on him. His name is Kevin Durant. John, you go first.
Going Kevin Durant over 2.5 assists. Yeah, I put minus 105. That's what I bet. I think it's minus 125. It's going to keep moving because there's just no reason it should be 2.5. Minus 105. Still play the minus 125. You can go play the alt too. I did throw a half unit on the alt as well. I'm honestly just not really sure what they were thinking pricing this with Kevin Durant. I don't know if they just think it's the injury. Maybe there's a minutes restriction. I dropped his minutes quite a bit, and we still had a massive edge on this number. So even if they come out and say he has a minutes restrictions of 30, that's fine. I'm cool with that. That's what I projected him to have. So I'm not worried about that. The Suns have also, they've been off. So they played last Wednesday and they're playing tonight. Again, weird NBA Cup schedule. They've been off for 6 days here. So I feel like Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant have probably had plenty of opportunities to scrimmage with the team and run, and they probably know what they're capable of. And, you know, I would be shocked if there even is a minutes restriction. I just don't see them coming back with one like that. So 2.5 minus 105. I just can't believe this is this low for Kevin Durant. I think it's just a whiff, and they just didn't know how to price it coming. I mean, we played Jakob Poeltl over 2.5. This is Kevin Durant. So give me the over.
Yeah, similar logic for me. I'm going to take Durant to go over his point total. I was surprised to see it at 22.5, and potentially this could be a really great discount if he's not limited in his return. So he did practice in full on Sunday, as John alluded to or pointed to. The Suns haven't played in about 6 days, so lots of time to get ramped up here. Nothing official in terms of if there's going to be a full workload or if there's going to be a minute restriction. And that's why the number is low here at 22.5. And I do think it is worth the risk here. If you look what he's done this season, he's averaging 27.6 points per game off 38.8 minutes per game. And he always brings it versus LeBron in his career. He averages 28.8 points per game in head-to-heads with LeBron. They played the Lakers twice this season. He scored 30 points in both of those games. So I like Durant to have a good night scoring-wise here and take him to go over 22.5 points. Okay, John, wrap it up. Another guy coming back, Bradley Beal. What do you like for him?
I think you said it perfectly too. The spot, it's the Lakers. Like, he's not just going to go sleepwalking against LeBron James. They're on a losing streak. They're at home. You know, if this was in Detroit and they're making the return, you could be like, oh, maybe it's not the, you know, the best effort you see, whatever, but it's against the Lakers. But I'm going Bradley Beal over 14.5 points. It's the same vibe we're saying with Kevin Durant assists, Kevin Durant points. Again, I think they just kind of whiffed here trying to price this coming out of both these guys coming back from injury. Same thing I did with Durant is the same thing I did with Beal. I dropped his minutes projection. We still had a nice edge. So even if he's on a minutes restriction, I still really like this price. There's no indication he is on a minutes restriction. When they've played the Lakers in the past, the Lakers are a bad point of attack defense. You know, Austin Reeves has actually improved this year. But D'Angelo Russell, they have a hard time containing guards, and they've matchup hunted those guards with Bradley Beal in the past. So 14.5, I just think this is sitting way too low. And like, even like you said, they played them earlier in the year. He had 15 points, but he's 1 of 7 from three against the Lakers. So that kind of grabs your attention. Like, you know, he didn't shoot it well, and he still scored 15. So I just think this is too low. And I think it's worth, like you were saying with Durant, I think it's worth, you know, going at, maybe they do have a minutes restriction, but if they don't, this could surge over pretty good.
Yeah, I dug into this game and tried to make a case for a spread bet here. You can make a really good case for either team. I mean, the Suns are favored by 2.5 right now. They're kind of desperate, losing streak. They were a much better team. They looked like one of the better teams in the NBA when Durant was coming out to start the season with Bradley Beal back as well. But then again, the Lakers, a bit of a desperation spot for them here. It's the NBA Cup. Which, are they still undefeated in NBA Cup games going back to last season?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, but they've lost two consecutive games here for them. So who knows? High total, 234.5. I'd probably lean the over on that. And unfortunately, this game's on the West Coast, so I'm probably going to have to just watch the highlights here in the morning. I'm not here in the Atlantic time zone, for God's sakes. Okay. Yeah, we will leave it at that, though. To recap the six NBA plays, I'm going to go over for Bucks Heat down in Miami. Going to go under for Rockets T-Wolves down in up in Minnesota, I should say. KD over 22.5 points. Mettler's going with the Utah Jazz plus 2.5. KD over 2.5 assists. And Bradley Beal over 14.5 points. Okay. That does it for the Tuesday edition of the show. We're going to be right back with you guys again tomorrow. It's the John Show. John Middlecoff here for his weekly appearance, breaking down all the hot stories in the NFL. Get some of his best bets as well for a big time week 13. And then John Mettler, of course, will be back. He's with us every day on the show covering the NBA. And housekeeping note, I said this yesterday, if you guys missed it, we're going early on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to be doing the show at 9 a.m. Eastern, just trying to get ahead of all the NFL action that is taking place that day. The games do start a little bit earlier, so make sure if you like watching the show live, you can tune in to watch it live, or if you're not around that early, you can watch the replay before the games kick off. Okay, that does it for today. Thank you to both of my guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick. Did a fantastic job putting the show together for us. Thank you to BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you mostly to all of the great viewers for tuning in today. Best of luck with your bets tonight. And we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Let's go, Dolphins. Woo!